Welcome back to The Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Fully Committed, starring Jesse Tyler Ferguson, opens tonight at the Lyceum Theater in New York City. The play, by Becky Mode, follows a day in the life of Sam, who mans the Red Hot reservation line at Manhattan's number one restaurant. Jesse Tyler Ferguson, best known for his Emmy-nominated work as Mitchell on ABC's Modern Family, plays all 40 characters in the show, acting out the coercion, threats, bribes, and histrionics of both the would-be patrons as well as the staff of the very chic eatery. Jason Moore directs this production, which is scheduled for a limited run through July 24th. Moore directed the films Sisters, starring Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, and Pitch Perfect, as well as Shrek the Musical on Broadway and the Tony Award-winning production of Avenue Q. Jason Moore, welcome to The Roundtable.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I'm a huge fan of your work. I'm so excited you took the time to speak with me today.
Oh, thanks a lot. Yeah, it's nice to be here.
So we'll start with the matter at hand, Fully Committed. When did you learn about this project? How did you decide to take it on?
Well, I had seen Fully Committed at the Cherry Lane years ago and thought it was so funny. It made me laugh. And then about 9 months ago, the producer approached me and said, do you know this play? I said, yes, I do. I think it's really funny. She said, well, we have Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Instantly, I was like, he's one of my favorite actors, and he's a friend of mine from back in the Spelling Bee Avenue Q days. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, and we need a director. And so I read it again, and it was as funny as I remembered. And the notion of Jesse, who's such a fine actor and a funny guy, bringing all those characters to life, all 40 of them, just was like, this is going to be fun to work on and also a really wonderful night, New York night in the theater.
How do you fit it into your schedule? How do you make sure that you have time and then come over and tackle it?
Well, another reason it was particularly great is I was looking for a next project, and a movie that I was working on was going to move to later, and I hadn't been on Broadway in a couple of years having done these movies, and so it was a perfect way to get back to really what feels like home, which is New York and in the theater, and to be in a rehearsal room just has been fantastic. So it's not been difficult at all, because it's wonderful to be able to clear your schedule for something that you love and something that you get to really dive in deep to.
How did you figure out that this is what you would do with your life and begin to pursue it?
Well, I think my mother would answer that question with, I used to throw all these my birthday was around Halloween, and I would throw elaborate birthday parties with lots of decorations and ghosts and haunted houses and stuff. And I think those are at age six. That's when I was directing and telling people what to do. And then when I realized theater was a thing, you know, I went to see a lot of it. I grew up in Arkansas, so I wasn't able to see a ton of stuff. I didn't see my first Broadway show till I was 18. But I always loved the experience of going to the theater, and I loved musicals, and I also love movies, because that was more what I could watch growing up in Arkansas. And so when I went away to school, I knew that I wanted to pursue them both, and so I got a joint degree in theater and film.
I'm sure that there's a million nuances to the answer to this question, but what is the main difference in directing for the stage and for film? Actually, let me ask that a different way. Mm-hmm. What's the same about it? I think that would be easier. Like, what skills can you apply to both?
I think ultimately there are different sort of technical skills for directing for theater versus film, but the core of it is the same. You know, storytelling, truth, and great acting is really where you start, stories and acting. And in film, the stories tend to be bigger and the acting tends to be smaller. And in the theater, the stories tend to be more focused and a little bit smaller, and the acting tends to be a little bit bigger to fill the space. So that's a greatly reduced way to describe it. But you're right, and at the core, they really are the same. How do you make a group of people go on a journey with a story, feel for a character, and feel the same emotions or laugh at the same times?
Avenue Q. You directed Avenue Q.
You work real hard and the pay's real low, and every hour goes oh so slow, and at the end of the day there's nowhere to go but home to Avenue Q.
How did you get that project? And when did you know, if you could guess, what it would be, what it would become, and that it would hit as well as it did?
Yeah. Avenue Q came to me. I had been my day job for a long time was I supervised Les Mis. I was the resident director there, and I was also developing new plays and musicals for, you know, $2 a month.
Right.
And I was directing episodic television as well. And Avenue Q came around. Avenue Q was originally conceived as a half-hour television program for, like, Comedy Central, kind of a spoof on Sesame Street for television. And I went in to interview for the job, and I had kind of a unique set of experiences in both television and theater and musicals and comedy. And that combo made them take a chance on me, and we developed it from a television show into a full-length piece. And to answer the other part of your question, I always knew the songs were really special because we performed them out of context often with the puppets, and I'd seen them work at events and the BMI Theater Workshop, and they were always really funny. But the challenges of making a two-hour evening was, you know, very different. So I think I always knew the songs were funny, but when I knew that we had something special was our first couple performances at the Vineyard. The main story is this guy, Princeton, is looking for his purpose in life, and he's like in his 20s and trying to figure out what it is. And a woman in her 50s came up and said, you know, I just got divorced and I'm looking for my purpose in life. And someone else said, I've decided to make a mid-career transition. I'm going to open a bakery and I'm still trying to find my purpose in life. And that was when I kind of thought, oh, this might have a longer reach than I thought. And it ended up being even more than we dreamed.
Yeah, if people in all stages of life are really relating to a puppet, yeah, going through something, then yeah, it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I realize how universal that concept is. Mm-hmm. We didn't plan it that way because we were speaking from our own experience, but that's usually, hopefully, how that happens.
Did you, after doing Avenue Q, get pitched every puppet project with adult themes or kid stuff for a while?
I got pitched a lot of puppet projects and a lot of projects for kids because people would see puppets and sort of make the association for kids or fantasy or magical stuff and some comedy. But yeah, but I love puppets. I didn't know that I did before because I had never worked with puppets before. But once I kind of fell in love with them because I think there are a few things anymore that only theater can do really better mm-hmm. in some ways than film or television. And puppets is one of them because they're so inherently theatrical.
You directed Pitch Perfect. So I put my hands up to play my song, the butterflies fly away. Nodding my head like yeah, moving my hips like yeah. Put my hands up to play my song, and I'm gonna be okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's a party in the USA. How did that project come about, and when did you know that that would explode the way that it did?
Pitch Perfect was, I had done Avenue Q, and I was, as I said, I've always wanted to do both film and television. I was looking for a movie to sort of capitalize on that nice little burst of energy in my career. And I was looking for stuff, and musical stuff came my way quite a bit, and puppet stuff and family stuff. And I read Pitch Perfect, and it was written by a woman named Kay Cannon. Her comedy voice was also very specific and very funny. And it had these funny musical numbers that had sort of a subservient kind of left of center point of view, which is what I tend to gravitate towards comedically. So Liz Banks and Universal hired me to do it, and then Glee came out, and they tabled the project for a while because they were like, these two things can't coexist. We eventually convinced them that they could, and we made the movie quietly on a small budget. And we all knew, we thought it was funny, but it was so niche. A cappella is such a weird, separate world, and, you know, we didn't have any, you know, huge movie stars or anything. So I don't think we really understood that it became sort of a favorite among a group of people until kind of the Christmas after it came out, and people started saying, you know, I bought the DVD and I've watched it 10 times. And that's when you kind of go, oh, right, that's getting into the culture more and more. That's true for plays too. When people say they pay to see a Broadway musical two or three times, there is a sense that it's becoming something that, you know, people want to make it a part of their lexicon.
So Avenue Q, huge ensemble cast, not huge, but strong ensemble cast, lots of people. Pitch Perfect, of course, has a lot of people in it. Other things you've worked on, the television shows have the, you know, their cast, and then people with arcs. Fully Committed as one actor, you and Jesse Tyler Ferguson. Have you done that before?
I've not done a kind of high-profile one-person show. I worked on them in college and did some, you know, Chicago and stuff. But this is the first one that I've done where I've spent this much time on it. And it's also, it's really fun, first of all, because it's very intimate in that way. Jesse is a friend, which is a lucky stroke, but also you get to really be up close to someone who's creating all these funny characters and these dialects and this physicality, and that's really fun to watch. Directing a musical, sometimes you sit back and the choreographer takes over, and there are lots of things to look at, but this is very connected, which is very rewarding. And in this particular case, it's also usually the audience is the actor's scene partner. So in some ways, in the room, I'm Jesse's partner because he's talking to himself most of the time. Yeah. So it's a peculiar, wonderful, specific kind of journey to go on. It's been really fun.
I realize now that we haven't described at all what the show is about.
Well, Fully Committed is a comedy, and it stars Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and he plays the reservationist at like the hottest, trendiest, most difficult to get into Manhattan restaurant. And on this particular day of the play, all of his coworkers can't come in for different reasons, and he has to answer all the phones for all these crazy New Yorkers who are trying to get a table. And what's sort of special on top of it that's fun about it is that Jesse plays all the people in the play. So everybody who calls in, the chef, the maitre d', the hostess, and all the crazy customers, he plays them all. And so it's watching a really funny story about a really true situation, which if anyone's ever tried to get a table in a trendy place in New York, they know how difficult it can be. And then it's virtuosic watching Jesse do this kind of magical thing of becoming all these characters in front of your eyes. So it's a special night in the theater.
Could you zoom in a little for me on how you work with Jesse, how you and Jesse create each of those individual people, and how you keep track of all of them?
It is a lot of math to kind of keep track of all the different characters, and Jesse's very diligent, and he's very focused about making sure each one is specific and different. In the original play, it took place sort of on the Upper East Side, and there was kind of a more of a similarity between all the characters. Mm-hmm. We really wanted to make this more of a restaurant now where people travel from all over the world to go to, you know, Momofuku Ko or to
try to,
exactly. So it was really about, you know, we did some research. We went to have dinner. We would spend time on the subway looking and gathering. And Jesse did a lot of this work on his own. We did some of it together. But taking pictures and making mental notes of the kinds of people that were there and what kinds of people would be funny. And a lot of it is starting with the dialect. What do they sound like? How old are they? Are they male? Are they female? You know, what is their body like? What kind of clothes are they wearing? Because he has to become these people in kind of a second. And the audience has to get it right away. And we don't have any clothes or anything to help it. It's just him. That's part of what's fun about watching it. So it's being as observant and specific as possible. And then just really working. Jesse works really hard on the technique of the voices and the physicality to make it come to life and to make it be funny.
You directed Sisters. I know I keep presenting that to you as though you're not aware, and I realize you are. Yeah. But was it as incredible? I should say, this movie came out last December, starring Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. Was it as amazing as it seems like it would be to work with those two tremendous women?
It was. Sisters was one of the most glorious experiences I've had, because one, working with the two of them is fantastic, and they're lovely and collaborative and funny and always bringing stuff to the table. But also we brought a lot of their Saturday Night Live family together, which was sort of a reunion. The movie is a party, right? So we have 20 funny people locked in a room. It's a party and everyone's trying to be funny. It was really wonderful. They also all come from improv, and so they all want to help each other be funny. They're not just trying to do it for themselves. They're part of the game. They're trying to help each other. And that was a really just a special collaborative experience. It felt like a party a lot of the time. It was really fun.
I also wondered while I was watching it, Renee Elise Goldsberry, who's in Hamilton mm-hmm. and on The Good Wife, and Brian D'Arcy James, who's in Something Rotten right now but was in Shrek that you directed, they show up very briefly, but that must be because you're like, hey, come be in my movie for a minute.
Yeah, and Daniel Breaker, who was in Shrek, is in it. Anne Harada, who was in Avenue Q, is in it. Jen Samard, who's in Disasters, and there's a lot of the Broadway folks, if you are looking, they're kind of all over the places. They're friends of mine, number one, so it's always fun to work with friends, but they're also just really funny actors. So yeah, in this particular case, a lot of them were in shows, so they couldn't come shoot big roles. So we'd be like, look, can you come do this day? It'll be really fun, I promise. And I was really thrilled that they were able to be in it. And it's fun for me to see them up there.
It's been a tremendous treat for me personally and professionally to speak with you. Thank you so much again.
Thanks. Nice talking to you.
Jason Moore is the director of Fully Committed, starring Jesse Tyler Ferguson. The show opens tonight at the Lyceum Theater in New York City. Links to more information are posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.